It's Epiphany Sunday, but what exactly is an epiphany anyway? You know, that's not a word that we use much anymore in our lives or in our culture. I kind of like to think of a cartoon, though, where suddenly a light bulb comes on over the character's head. Eureka, they've got it. The truth has dawned on them. A light has come. An epiphany is a sudden realization or a revelation from God. And yet when Jesus comes into this dark world, not everyone has their light bulbs come on. He came to those which were his own, but his own did not receive him or understand him, John writes. And Matthew puts that truth in a shocking story for us here, where it isn't the ones in the know, the religious insiders, who come to worship the child, but the ones on the go, these strange mages from the margins. So let's turn to Matthew 2 now this morning and to the story of the Magi. Let's hear now the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning.
Thanks be to God.
So I've titled this message, "From Stars to Dreams: How Do We Know Things?" Because it seems that we are a long way from the Magi in the ways we come to our knowledge. The Magi look up to the heavens, waiting for a light from outside, a word from beyond, some kind of epiphany from the gods. But what do? Well, we fish out our smartphones. We ask Google or Alexa to scan all human knowledge. We know things, and we're proud that we know things. We human beings, we're very smart. But is it all just one big echo chamber, really? Or is there a truth still out there, a voice from above? Why is it that God chooses these strange mages from the east, these pagan astrologers and horoscope writers, to come and to worship his son? What's he saying by inviting these wise guys to see the rising of his star? The Magi were not just magicians and astronomers, but masters of divination, you see. Practice that was outlawed in the law of Moses by God himself. In Deuteronomy, Moses called it detestable to dabble in sorcery, to consult with mediums, or to interpret omens from the stars. These were not just dubious means, no, they were outlawed in Israel. And yet, at least the Magi still sought answers from above. At least they still watched the stars. That's more than we can say for Herod here, or the chief priests and teachers of the law, who are just consumed here with their own knowledge and their own power. And that's more than we can say for many of us now, too, isn't it? Do we still search the heavens? Do we still expect answers to our prayers? Are we open to direction from God? Or is an expert opinion or an AI calculation the brightest light that we've got? It shouldn't surprise us that these know-it-alls in Jerusalem won't even budge 5 miles to see if the Magi were right. It'd be like somebody walking into church today and saying, "The second coming has come," because Pisces and Scorpio are all lined up. But maybe we have to cut them a bit of slack. I mean, it is deeply ironic that the Magi are open to divine direction, to divine providence, while God's own people are not. The Magi go out, but the Jewish leaders seem stuck with their own devices. The Magi don't stop at knowing, they get to going. They don't stop at minding, they get to finding. They don't stop at getting, they get to giving their lives. They don't stop at their knowledge or their interpretation, but stay open to considering others. They take the priest's tip of Bethlehem here, and they continue to search for the child. But what do we know about these Magi? Well, honestly, not that much. Were they kings? Probably not. Were there 3 of them? We don't know. They bore 3 gifts, yes, but an older tradition says that there were 12 of them. They traveled in a great caravan that included women as well. Were they wise? Well, because of their actions, we would call them wise, but in their day, most people would think they were fools to risk such a quest and to hail a foreign child as king. They'd be disturbing their kings and upsetting the balance of power. There's so much we don't know about these Magi, but then also about our God. As we confessed here this morning, we worship a God who is incomprehensible, far beyond the limits of all our knowledge. A God who reveals himself to us through 2 beautiful books, his Word and his World. But how much? Well, as much as we need for his glory and for our salvation, we said. But not so much that we get big heads and that we only worship ourselves. As modern rationalists, we try to explain that star. Oh, it's just a comet or a supernova or some astronomical event. But what about its motions? Just how did it rise and go ahead of them and then stop over the place where that child was, there in Bethlehem? The Magi aren't the only ones following a star. No, the star is following a star. It's looking for the one born king, the one who made it, the one who created it once upon a time. But are we willing to see that God can speak through all his creatures in ways that we don't always expect? When I was in my first call, fresh out of seminary at Trinity CRC in Abbotsford, Canada, I got a strange visit one day from a couple of missionaries from Korea. Both looked a lot older and wiser than me, and one of them, named Joseph, told me about his dream, and he made a request that I knew would be a real stretch for our council. "I need to plant a church here," he said. "I need to plant a church for Korean immigrants." "Well, how do you know that God's calling you to do that?" I asked Pastor Joseph. Well, he'd had a dream of a church called Dreaming Church, and all the stars had lined up to get him this far, to Canada. But his dream got even more specific than that. "I dreamed of a church with white arches, just like this one," he said, "where we'll worship each and every Sunday." "Wait, you dreamed of this church? God led you to our building?" I said. I was skeptical, you see, and so was our council. What's his theology? Is he orthodox? Doesn't he know that God doesn't speak to us like that? We went back and forth. "He's dreaming," some said, "but Weren't people led by dreams in the Bible often? Especially people named Joseph, others said. Finally, we let him use our sanctuary on Sunday afternoons when none of us needed it anyways. But now I hear that while the church is struggling there to retain its Dutch white majority culture, another church has actually joined them now in worship. A Filipino church, more wise men from the East. And I just wonder, is God saying something about who's welcome in his family now that he sent Jesus to join ours? If his people won't share his dream, he's ready to scream it from the stars. God would prefer that his people would be the light, that we would be the star of Bethlehem, that we would point people to Christ no matter where they have come from. But if, like those holy men in Jerusalem, we won't be bothered to help, well, then God can raise up rocks or gas giants millions of miles away to cry out. Or even the unchurched or the unfaithed, like the Magi. See, this text challenges our assumptions of who's in and who's out. Challenges our assumptions of who's in the know and who's out to lunch. It challenges our assumptions of who gets the gospel truth the most. The ones who are smug and secure in their own knowledge and who feel that they've arrived, or the ones who dream dreams, and move on visions, and act on the truth that they discover. There are two kinds of knowing on display here in Matthew 2, you see. The knowing that goes, that searches and seeks, that worships and serves and follows. And the knowing that stays, too afraid to look, to stick its neck out, to lose control of its own life. Too proud to admit that it's got to learn yet from others. The Magi don't stop at knowing, they get to going. They don't stop at minding. They get to finding. They don't stop at getting. They get to giving their very lives. They don't stop at their glory. We got it right, or we're just so smart. They humbly bow and worship this child, the very wisdom of God who will make things right. See, the priests and lawyers of Jerusalem know it all. They know the prophecies, but they do nothing with that knowledge. The Magi know just a glimmer, and yet they give everything to follow. And we in the church today, too, have a lot to learn from those who are unchurched, from those who are searching for answers yet here in our world. They can light us up, too, with their joy of finding the truth. You know, it's a great gift of Neyland Church. We're a thoughtful bunch. We're a careful church. We like to work things out, to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind. But sometimes we get stuck. We spend so much time working things out in our heads that we fail to realize our hands and our hearts should know them too. No, not all of us have that problem, but I know I do for sure. And this text challenges me a lot. The Magi have so little to go on, just that glimmer up in the heavens. A star has been born, a rising star. But rather than calling a council of experts back in Babylon, they go. They simply go and they check it out. My guess is that these guys weren't much used to traveling, and the journey was long, about 900 miles across dangerous borders and past tyrants and demagogues. But wisdom is as wisdom does. So they acted on the word of God. It's humbling, isn't it, to see these Magi traveling so far just by the glimmer of that star, putting their lives on the line, offering such gifts, such royal gifts here to a child. Many of us who know so much more have done so much less to worship and witness to Christ. We've gotten too stuck in ourselves, too stuck in our fear or our pride. They didn't know much about the child they honored. Did they know he was God in flesh? Well, probably not. But there's something so beautiful in verse 10 here when Matthew writes, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed at the star. Because which star does he mean? The star in the sky or the star in the house? The light in the heavens or the light of the world? They took that child as proof that God was with them, that God is with us. The Magi didn't stop at knowing. They got to going. They didn't stop at minding. They got to finding. They didn't stop at getting. They got to giving their lives. Wisdom is as wisdom does, and true wisdom is proved right by our actions, by our fruits. To truly know, you've got to look up and step out. What does it mean for our church that pagans were welcomed here at the bedside of Christ? What does it mean for our mission that Jesus charged us to go and to make disciples of all kinds? It means that the God who is with us is with the nations already. So when we reach out, the light will already be there to bounce back on us. He's already here in our neighborhoods, here at Neyland and at Watkins. The Magi are guided by a star and by dreams here. Are we open yet to such wonders? Or have we closed our canon and made a hard science of our own interpretations, what the majority thinks is clear or is right? The early church was not so encumbered, you know. Your young folks will dream dreams. Your old folks will see visions. And all who call on the Lord will know his salvation. Pentecost blows open our borders. Everyone is welcome to Christ. How many ways are there to God? Just one, Christ. But how many ways are there to Christ? Well, how many people are there? None of us has a corner on the truth. God can shine his light to whomever and to whomever and through whomever he wants. After all, what did the church base its decision to include the Gentiles, the Magi, and us on? Well, it wasn't enough just Paul's mission and logic. They needed Peter's dreams also to persuade them. So no church and no tradition has ever captured it all. Credit Herod here. He asks the right question of his advisors. Where is the Messiah to be born? And credit the Jerusalem scholars in Bethlehem and in Judea. They've got the right answer from God's word on the tip of their tongues. But it's the Magi who actually do something with that knowledge. We can have all the right questions and answers and still fail to let it move us to do the next right thing. Already this star makes clear that Jesus wants followers, not people who think they've already arrived. And for all their age and knowledge, what I love about the Magi here is how childlike they seem, how humble and naive in the way they approach Herod. They march up to that powerful king. They ask, where's the one who has been born king of this all? And when they gullibly then accept his lies and they find the child, they're still humble. They don't celebrate their finding the Christ, they're getting it right. No, they rejoice that God has shown them his star. God has led them for his glory to his child. So humble yourself, modern pastor, modern teacher, modern Bible scholar. The knowledge we've got is only made clear as we point others with it to Christ. And humble yourself, modern scientist, if you believe in something as absurd as quantum entanglement and that that is possible, then perhaps you shouldn't assume that these astrologers here were all out of touch. Because they're the first of the wise and learned to go and bow to this child. The Magi don't stop at knowing, they get to going. They don't stop at minding, they get to finding. They don't stop at getting, they get to giving their lives. Wisdom is as wisdom does, and true wisdom is proved right by her fruits, by her deeds. To really know, we've got to look up and step out. All truth is God's truth, but we will never have a corner on it, you see. Christ will shine his light in whatever hearts and whatever minds he wants. We cannot control it. We cannot contain it. The gospel is not ours to rein in or to protect. God's love will never be bound by our knowledge. Think you know a lot? You don't really know until you've taken the journey, this story tells us. Think you found the answer? You haven't really found it until you've acted on all your knowledge. Friends, there is a great big world and a beautiful kingdom that God is now bringing about. But we'll only see it when we give him our gifts, when we come to worship his Son. Because Jesus is it, the epiphany, the revelation of God. God writes his word in the Bible and in the stars even. But see, Jesus is the way he writes his word in our hearts. All truth is God's truth, but the point of all truth is always to lead us to love. So friends, see the star and be overjoyed in Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord, for coming into this dark and hostile world. And thank you for coming into our dark and hostile minds and hearts. Thank you for shining your light into places and people that we never would have believed it was possible. Thank you for helping us to be light, even when we can't see how. Help us live more in the joyful promise of your just and gracious reign. Help us come to you in worship and use all our gifts to honor you. And help us to get over ourselves and to extend your mercy, extend your welcome to others, that all may know you as their Savior and their Lord. In Christ's name we ask this, and all God's people say together, Amen.